This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey, everybody, you're back with another episode of 19 Cats and Counting. I am Rita Reimer, certified cat behaviorist. We have an awesome guest today. I can't wait for you to meet her. We'll be right back after this message.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting. In case you forgot, I am cat behaviorist Rita Reimers. Visit me at RitaReimers.com. But enough of me. We're going to talk with my friend KJ McGlynn. She is the kitty correspondent, and I'm dying to know what that means and what she does. Hi, KJ.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Rita. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. It was so great to catch up. I haven't seen you since like 24 and the CFA. So you've been into a lot of things. But first, tell me, how did you become a kitty correspondent?
Yes. So I started my my career in radio. And in Dubuque, Iowa, I actually grew up in Wisconsin. I started as a teenager, and that was where my media career began. But I was destined to become the kitty correspondent because my first word written in my baby book is kitty. I didn't say mama. I didn't say dada. I said kitty as my first word. So that's actually where it began, the first time I talked about cats.
Did your mom go, we better get a cat?
Well, it was because we did have cats, and I was reminded quite often that if I was going to say kitty as my first word, at least I went and made a career out of it. So it was not lost on her.
Love it.
So I moved around as radio people do and ended up in Indianapolis, which is my home now. That's where Pet Pals TV, the nationally syndicated show that is still on 15 years and running, is based out of. And the host of Pet Pals TV, Patty Spittler, who's a broadcast Hall of Famer and my mentor, would come into the radio studio with her pet stories and tell us, you know, here's what's coming up this Saturday on Pet Pals TV. And she, as we got to know each other, she would constantly just be at me. You'd get done doing a segment and she'd say, KJ, I need you on Pet Pals TV. You're the person, only person I know is as passionate and knowledgeable about cats as you are. You got to be on the team.
And you're comfortable in front of the camera and you're pretty and
Well, I wasn't comfortable in front of the camera because I was doing radio. So I'd be like, Patty, I like doing radio. I like coming in my PJs and doing my show and going home.
No, I get it. I'm wearing kitty pajama pants. I know.
Right. So as it happened, as it, you know, does often in radio, my radio company got bought and I was not invited to the new radio company's party. And so I had time to be the kitty correspondent for Pet Pals TV, finally. And Patty was thrilled, not thrilled
like,
that
yes,
I got fired, but like thrilled that I was finally like, okay. And, you know, in the beginning, I actually had to remind her, I don't know how to do TV. I don't know what I'm doing. So she'd be like, you don't hold the mic like that. You hold the mic on this side. And she literally had to teach me how to be on TV.
Thank you.
And so it just grew into, you know, part of who I was. And as it had turned out, while I was working in radio, I'd actually worked at a cat clinic part-time for 12 years. So I started taking this like hands-on experience that I had, you know, learning under a feline specialist and then doing these stories for Pet Pals TV and remembering like how much I learned growing up on a farm and having my own cats. And it just became this like natural, people came to me and wanted to ask questions about their cats. And if I didn't have the answer, I knew someone who did.
That's how I am too. I mean, I don't pretend to know everything, but you surround yourself with people who do.
Yeah.
And then you expand your knowledge too.
Yeah. So that just, I mean, it just became a very natural extension with my media experience that I put my heart into telling stories about cats. And so now I'm on several different TV shows, being the kitty correspondent. I wrote my book, Raised by Cats, Behind the Mic and the Meows. And now I founded a cat convention called Purrcon. So,
oh my gosh, we have so much to talk about. We could be here for an hour, but go back to your book. Tell me about your book. I saw that you had that book out. Tell me how you, what made you write it and what's it about?
You know, it's a little bit of a biography, but also it's a love letter to cats. You are going to learn some things about behavior, but really what I wanted people to come away with when I wrote Raised by Cats is that nobody really gives you a manual for how to have a cat. And even if they wrote it, it doesn't have everything in it because every cat is an individual. I think things are getting better, but at the time that I wrote the book, I felt like there wasn't anybody out there saying, hey, you know what, cat mom, you're doing the best you can with what you know, right? You're doing the best you can with what you have. And so that's really what the book is I start off actually, you know, talking about, you know, my first word being kitty and being raised on the farm and having a different view of cats then. And then Reggie, I call him my practice cat because I did so many things I would never do with my cat.
Yeah, Inga was my practice cat. I get it.
Right. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, Reggie. This whole book is dedicated to you because boy, boy, was I just a mess trying to figure things out with you. But that's the truth of, I feel like that is the truth of cat guardianship. I don't like to say ownership because I don't think we ever own a cat. But the truth about taking a cat into your home is that you cannot predict what life with that cat is going to be like.
But it's true.
Also shouldn't beat yourself up if you are in a place where life isn't perfect.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, I live with 15 is people who are listening now, and they're each different. They all have their different personalities. And, you know, like this one right here wants lots of attention. I have other cats that they'll come to me when they want it, but, you know, it's on their terms. There's some cats I can just go up to and grab, like this one here.
And even then, Rita, I'll, you know, talk to cat parents who are having such a difficult time because their cat isn't, you know, not the lap cat, you know, and they feel like they're doing something wrong. And it's like, does your cat sit near you? Is your cat in the room? Well, maybe that's how they show their love, right? We don't shun people who are introverts. We go, oh, they're not as outgoing as I am, but that's okay, right? Like, we have to give cats grace for that, but we also have to give, you know, you have to give yourself grace that if you are keeping that cat safe, and we will, you know, we go through this in my cat community, we'll talk about like, what are all the things that we can check off the list right now to figure out if that cat's feeling safe? Because if your cat is feeling safe, they are happy, right?
Right.
And so if they're not getting on your lap, that's what happiness is. It's being in the room near you. It's what they can give, right? And not expecting anymore.
And so much of what they've been through, you know, colors their personality. And they can change, long story short, if you all watch my Facebook, you know, I took in a feral FIV cat. And for 9 months, I didn't see him.
Yeah.
And then gradually he'd come around. And well, now he's the first one on the bed at night crawling all over me. So be careful what you wish for.
I love that. But,
yeah, see, it was up to him. He made the decision if he wanted that kind of close relationship or not.
Yes. Well, and I have the opposite, Rita, in that my least social cat, if you will, is Melody. And you saw her.
Yeah.
You saw her during the pre-show, right? I giggled because she's very complicated, and she prefers to live a life mostly separate from the other six. We have seven. She has like alone time with certain cats. But we've been through, I mean, we've talked to our behaviorists. I have a wonderful integrative vet who has helped us with every single medical, you know, issue that there could be. We have a wonderful animal communicator. And, you know, I've been asked the question, well, we don't, you know, maybe something happened before you got her. And I'm like, let me tell you Melody's sob story. She was in a wonderful foster home until she was in a PetSmart for 3 hours and then I adopted her. She does not have trauma.
Okay. Just 3 hours of trauma. That's all.
Now, right. I have some cats who came in here with some stories to tell, too. Right? But like Melody had nothing. Like, you know, I can't sit here and say, well, you know, Melody, you have to give Melody some grace because she had it rough before we adopted her. She didn't. She just wants to live a more solitary life. She did not sign up for a life in a house that had seven cats. She wanted to be an only cat. So we honor that.
I don't have any of those anymore, but I did have some like that. And, you know, they are peaceful around the other cats, but they really don't want to play or snuggle or bathe or any of that. And that's okay if they're happy, right?
Yep. And she, you know, I mean, she's out all night. We have, I mean, these are, you know, things that people often ask me questions about. But we have four cats who go to bed at 9 o'clock every night. They have their bedrooms. They know where their bedrooms are.
Aww.
They love going to bed at night. And so she has free rein at night because the two cats that she does consider safe are out at night. So she gets her social time. She does her thing. At 5 a.m. when I'm up and I get moving, she goes into my bedroom and she lives in my bedroom. She's got her queen's quarters, as we call it. And so I think a lot of times, you know, people will struggle with their cats not getting along and they try to keep them together. And I'm like, dude, give your cat a room and send them to their room. My cats love their room. And even if you don't have a lot of rooms, I don't have a huge house, but you can rotate them. Like they actually, if you give them everything they need, and they've got some birds to watch and they've got their own food and their litter box. My cats love to be by themselves. Like they love to go to their room.
I talk to roommates all the time and, you know, I have my cats in my room and he has his cats in his room. I have two cats that like this one, Teddy Bear and Lulu in the next bedroom. They like to have their room, but the doors are open so they can go wherever they want, but they don't want to. But other cats will come visit, just the ones they get along with. So yeah, you've got to let them decide. You know, I could try to force them to come downstairs, but that's not what they want. So I'm not going to force.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever works for you, that's always like, let's try it. I felt so horrible when I first started putting Melody in a room by herself, right? But we needed to separate because she and my flame point, Johnny Storm, I don't know what battles they had in their previous lives together, but they just are not interested
in oil and water.
Yep. And so when we started doing that, I felt horrible. But then I started realizing like she's never been happier. So if this is what makes her happy, then this is what we do. So, you know, removing the judgment from, you know, what we expect life with cats to be makes it so much more freeing and makes it better for you and better for them. Like figure out what works. And if it doesn't fit in the manual for how it's supposed to be, who cares? It works for you and your cat.
I agree. You know, I always say you have a cat club. I had one for a while. It's a space of non-judgment, right? No, but like people come to me with multi-cat households because they know I have one. Maybe they're afraid to admit it to publicly, right? No judgment. I'm never going to judge somebody unless you're a 500 cat hoarder. Then I might have a little something to say. But for the most part, if your cats are happy and fed and taken care of and you're living with them a certain way that maybe isn't, you know, conventional or what you think is right, it's right for you and it's right for your cats.
Yep. And that is... to me, the most important thing, and you know, and I'm sure you find it too, that often someone will come to you and they'll be like, hey, I got this kitten and my older cat absolutely cannot stand it. And you ask immediately like, well, how long was the introduction process? And I'm like, oh, I just got this kitten this weekend. And I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I think you and I know, and I think cat parents are getting more educated, we're empowering them much more, but there's still a lot of people that just don't know. And it's like, that's okay. You didn't know. Like You didn't study to be a cat care specialist.
Right.
You didn't work for 12 years in a cat clinic. You know, these are things we know, but it's okay that you didn't. Let's just figure out how we can get that cat safe as quickly as possible so that you can both feel better.
Especially the first-time cat parents. I get a lot of people that went from dogs to cats, especially during COVID. I grew up with a dog. I love dogs.
Me too.
I don't understand them like I do cats. So they're a whole different, you know, perspective. And you really have to get to know what cats are all about before you, if you can, before you bring one into your home, because they're just totally different than a dog. Their approach is different.
I'm really excited about the experts, the veterinarians. It feels like the entire cat industry is serving cat parents in a way that cat parents are demanding it now. Like, we don't want to fit our cats into the dog box, right? I don't even want to go to someone's site if they say they have pet supplies and I go to their site and it's full of dog stuff and they have like three cat things. I'm like, you're not a pet site, you're a dog site. Like, that's okay. It's fine. But like, I want someone who understands cats to make products for my cats. So
exactly.
It's coming along.
Oh, I know. They come to me all the time, and you know, with dog stuff. I'm like, okay, great, but I don't do dogs, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we have cats here. And you go to their website and there's this little.
Yeah. So I think it's changing. I think it's a great time to be a cat parent, to make sure that you have a vet who actually is passionate and understanding about how to treat cats, the fear-free, like all of that. That wasn't a thing. It really wasn't a thing. You know, 10 years ago, even, it wasn't a thing. And it is now. So you can say, like, I want better for my cat. And you can find products. You can find behaviorists. You can find vets who actually do want to help you with those specific cat needs.
Yeah. Vets that will say more than Prozac and Feel-Away.
Yes.
Those are not always the answer. I know we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk more about your cat club, and you've got a convention coming up I want to talk about too. I'm very excited. I wish I could go, but maybe next year. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages with KJ McLean.
Talk to the Paw.
Hi, this is Amy Shore.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Moore.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails. And who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown? Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Nights and Cats and Counting. I'm your host, Rita Reimers, Cat Behaviorist Certified. And KJ, we've talked a lot about cats and cat personalities and the, you know, how to make people feel more comfortable with what they're doing with their cats. But you have more ways than just our discussions of how to help cat parents feel more comfortable in what they're doing. Tell me about your cat club.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it was born out of getting lots of questions about cats and figuring out how to answer them, right? Like, I gotta get all these people in one place because I can't just be in my messenger and answering every cat question.
Oh, yeah. You could be there for hours doing that.
Yes. Yes. And I used to. And so, you know, as I got, you know, more and more known as the kitty correspondent, I decided, you know, I'm going to start this cat club. We'll see what happens. I've been in Facebook groups, you know, where you're in it and all of a sudden everyone's just yelling at each other, shaming each other, giving bad information. You're like, what is going on here? So I really was very intentional in how I set up the club. And it's, you know, it's not for behavior consulting. And I don't give that advice. I live in the in-between. I'm the connector and the translator. And so often, sometimes it's, you know, that, well, I went to the vet and they said everything is fine. So what's wrong with my cat? Right. And it's like, well, they said that they ran tests and medically your cat is okay. That's good news. Right. So now we figure out, for me, I always, now we figure out what is it that's making your cat not safe? Because whether your cat is aggressive or your cat is hiding under a bed, everything comes down to safety. So through the Cat Club, which is just, it's on Facebook, it's free. It's KJ's Cat Club. There are a lot of people that have been it for years and years that have learned from me, that have learned from experts in the group, that are fosters, that are on the front lines, that if you go in there and you say, I am having this issue, it really becomes, it's a wonderful community of people that are going to support, not judge. And so I'm very...
That's important, not judge.
Right. It was really important to me when I created it that it be a compassionate space for cat parents. And then as it grew, there, you know, are certain cat parents who were looking for a little, to go a little bit deeper. And so I have the Super Society, which is like literally my superhero cat parents. And they are in the chat together. They are figuring things out together. When you end up heading to the vet and it's 3 a.m. and you are scared, you can get in that group and someone's going to help calm your nervous system, sure, be there with you, walk you through it, finding cool new, products and being like, hey, I tried this thing out. It's working for my cat. So that's sort of like the next level is the Super Society. And then all of this comes together and we gather once a year at PurrCon, which is my cat convention that happens inside this great big pop culture celebration called PopCon.
And you've got that coming up pretty soon.
We do. Yes. So May 8th through the 10th, we're in Indianapolis. People have been coming to PopCon itself for 13 years from all over the states, from all over the world. It is a huge celebration. Everything from cool celebrities to magic shows to an international film festival, escape rooms, laser tag. I mean, it's
nice.
Not a Comic-Con. It is so much bigger than a Comic-Con.
And this is not just cats, right?
And
it's
it is not.
Dogs, whatever kind of pet you have.
So PopCon has been this amazing pop culture celebration for 13 years. They asked me a couple years ago after I got back from the CFA Cat Expo.
Oh, I loved that. I've been to two of those. So
it was so fun. It was so fun. And I was telling them about it. I'm like, so cool. And they said, should we do something like that inside PopCon? And I said, don't you say that to me. And then not let me do it. So PurrCon was born, and it is a curated space inside of PopCon where you can learn from experts. We have Every Cat Health Foundation is coming in this year, bringing some celebrities with them. Joey Luthman, who is in the middle of Joey's journey to a million. You may know him from the TV show Weeds. He's got a couple of friends that were Disney XD stars, Dylan and Alan Snyder, that are coming in. They're debuting their documentary Catman at the PopCon International Film Festival. So it's entertainment and education together. And, run over and fun. Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings and then come back over and cuddle a kitten for 10 minutes.
Nice. Yes. I love that. Do they, is it like CFA? Do they have cats there for adoption? Dogs too?
We don't do adoptions on site.
Okay.
That was one of the things. One, it was one of the things that I agreed to because PopCon had said, hey, this is really cool, but you're not going to have like thousands of cats. That event.
I think that's stressful.
I was like,
for them.
No, I'm not doing a cat show. I'm doing a convention that celebrates cats. And for me, especially working in welfare like I do, I really wanted to honor cats by not stressing any of them out. And adoption events are very important. But inside this like super high energy space where there are 30,000 people who are like full of excitement because they are meeting celebrities that they love and wearing the cosplay they've been
wearing. And it's loud.
I just was like, I don't want to stress cats out by having this cat convention. So it worked out nicely. We partner with ARPO, which is the Alliance for Responsible Pet Ownership. They don't do any on-site adoptions anyway. You have to fill out an application, do the home inspection, all of that. So they bring kittens and we have a private room where we do, it's kind of like speed dating kittens. So you get 10 minutes in this nice quiet room to hang out with some kittens And then you go back out into the, you know, into the pop culture craziness, and you can go sit and watch what's happening on the cat conversation stage, or play musical cat boxes, or go literally back out into PopCon. But the only cats that we have with us for PerCon are those kittens. And that's really good for them, right? Because they're
getting socializing
them, right? They're going to be able to tell, are these kittens good around a lot of people? Are these kittens good with sound? So it actually serves a purpose in having the kittens there with us. But it's not a place that you can bring your own cat. It's not even a place where you can bring your dogs, although we do have a roving reporter. Dixie the Praying Dog is our celebrity dog who reports on everything happening at PerCon.
Cool.
But yeah, it's really more of a space to come celebrate with us, to learn from the experts that we bring in, and to just have a really great time with other people who get you, right? Who want to see your 5,000 cat pictures on your phone and want to talk about how crazy they are. So there are friendships that are forged. There are people that come back to meet again and see each other. And it's all over cats.
I love that. So when is the date? When is this happening?
It is May 8th through the 10th, and it's at the Indiana Convention Center here in Indianapolis. So if you go to perconindy.com, you can see what guests are coming, see what games we're going to be playing. We'll be putting up the schedule very soon. I'm putting together all of that. And there's some videos from last year where you can see, you know, what exactly is it like to go to a cat convention that's inside a pop culture convention?
So can they buy tickets on your website?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's great.
Yep. So we have superhero passes for the weekend. Some of them come with PopCon admission. And some of them, if you were already going to PopCon and you just want to upgrade to get the VIP experience in the PerCon area, we have that option too.
I love that. And can you believe we're just about out of time?
Oh, man.
So you'll have to come back again. But I want to know, do you have any last words of wisdom for people who work with cats, who own cats, or just in general?
Yes. I mean, number one, give yourself a break, okay?
It's important.
Being a cat parent is so rewarding, but it is also very challenging. They are, you know, remember that they share 96% of their DNA with a tiger. They did not adapt for us. They chose to move in with us.
That's right.
So I operate under the super pillars, which are super as in S-U-P-U-R-R, super, which is safety, understanding, presence, unwinding, receiving, and rest. And you can learn all about those in my cat club. But basically, if you're doing those things with your cat, you are going to have a super life with your cat.
And what's your website, KJ?
You can go to supersociety.com, or you can go to kjontheair.com, and you'll find all my things, Super Society, PerCon, my Pet Pals TV stories. That's where I live, kjontheair.com.
I love it. I'm so glad that we were able to catch up with each other before we got on the air and on the air.
Me too.
I want you to come back again anytime. I know there's a lot more topics we can talk about. We could probably talk all day about cats because we love them so much.
Yes. Yes, I would love that.
Thank you so much. And of course, I have to thank Mark Winter for giving me this spot on Pet Life Radio. I will be forever grateful. And don't forget, every day is Catter Day. We'll see you next time, folks.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.